GoDaddy.com. Use the code PODSAVE, that's PODSAVE 139, for $5 off of orders that are $30 or more. GoDaddy.com. Tango Tango Papa 1215, November 26, 2009.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you this evening. It's almost morning. From Edwardsville, Illinois. Edwardsville is basically it's suburban St. Louis on the Illinois side. I spent last night there at Grand Rapids, Michigan. So I woke up, I guess it was about noon, it would have been around 1 o'clock Eastern time this afternoon. Woke up and got around and went to Kentwood, Michigan, which is basically Grand Rapids. Went to Kentwood, picked the load up, it was a drop and hook, and then I headed for the St. Louis area. And so I got here, I don't know, it was probably, I guess it was around 1:30 a.m. Central time, and dropped the loaded trailer, picked up an empty trailer, and then they sent a load offer right away. The load offer, the load picks up Friday, and then it delivers whenever, on the 30th, whenever that is, in Ennis, Texas, which is down south and somewhat west of Dallas, along Interstate 45. And so I'm going to be sitting here, outside of St. Louis. I'm going to be sitting here until sometime on Friday. That's when the load's supposed to load. So, basically I'm going to be sitting all Thanksgiving Day, and then I'll go over there. I'll call the place probably, because I'm about 3 miles. Oh, excuse me. I'm about 3 miles. This truck stop I'm at, I'm at a Flying J truck stop here at Edwardsville, Illinois. I'm about, so it's about 3 miles from that warehouse. So that should work out, I guess. So it was rainy a lot of the way on the trip down from Michigan. Most of the trip was in Illinois, and it was rainy, and about the lowest temperature I saw was about 38 degrees, and then when I made it to here to the St. Louis area, it was about 40 degrees according to my truck's thermometer. And now it wasn't raining then, but now I've been here for a little while. I answered some emails, and then I prepared a couple of audio clips, and that turned out to be kind of time-consuming. And but I got them prepared, and so I'm going to play them here in a bit. And I'm noticing that there's a little bit of I guess it stopped, but there a while ago there was a little bit of drizzle. So the drizzle, there may have been some drizzle, and then it kind of left, and it may be back. Who knows? But when I was delivering the load, I could see a few clouds in the sky, but it was mostly, you know, I could still see stars too. So, you know, maybe the clouds are moving in. Now, about 100 miles north of here, I was stopped at a Love's truck stop, and while I was in there, I asked the woman if she knew what the weather was supposed to do, and she said, well, she thought maybe that it was supposed to snow at some point. Jeez, some point after midnight. So, but I don't know. If it does, it's warm enough, it's probably not going to stick. And again, it doesn't even matter because I'm going to be parked here until Friday. So, anyway, are you spending more time at the office than at home? And that means missing out on your personal life? Your work life and personal life are out of balance. It's stressful. The solution, I know what that's like. That's why I use GoToMyPC. With GoToMyPC, you can access your office computer from home, so you have more control over when and where you work. For example, log into your office computer before the kids wake up, so you're not rushing to the office in the morning. Or leave work early and take the kids out, then finish your work after dinner. Our listeners can try GoToMyPC free for 30 days. That's a month of unlimited remote access free. For this special offer, you must visit www.gotomypc.com/podcast. That's gotomypc.com/podcast for a free trial. So, I've got a couple of audio clips, and they're related to this man-made global warming hoax, and it's being shown to be a hoax by the these emails. And at first, they were saying that, well, these were hacked. Somebody hacked in and into this East Anglia, this climate research unit in Britain, hacked into their email server and got these, you know, I don't know. I've heard anywhere from 69 megabytes to 200 and about 210 megabytes or something worth of emails from this server. But then now I'm also hearing maybe that it may well be an internal whistleblower that supplied the emails. And so, but regardless of how it happened, it's becoming very obvious that the emails are quite legitimate. And so before I play the audio, there's a couple of articles I want to read. One of them is from the dailymail.co.uk. Scientist and climate change cover-up, storm told to quit. The scientist at the heart of the climate change scandal was under growing pressure to quit last night. George Monbiot, M-O-N-B-L-O-T, a leading environmentalist, said Phil Jones should resign from the climate research unit over leaked emails that appeared to show researchers suppressing scientific data. More emails came to light yesterday, including one in which an American climatologist admitted it was a travesty that scientists could not explain a lack of global warming in recent years. In another note, UK researchers dismissed the work of scientists challenging global warming as crap. Another appeared to call for pressure on the BBC after a reporter suggested that evidence for rising temperatures since 2001 was thin. In one of the most damning messages, Professor Jones appeared to respond to the death of a climate skeptic with the words, in an odd way, this is cheering news. The leak has been a huge embarrassment to the climate unit at the University of East Anglia, which is a global leader in its field. Although there is no hint of evidence that climate change is not real, the emails appear to show researchers manipulating raw data and discussing how to dodge Freedom of Information requests. Yesterday, Mr. Monbiot, who writes on green issues, said the emails could scarcely be more damaging. Well, gee, I wonder why. I am now convinced that they are genuine, and I'm dismayed and deeply shaken, he said. There are some messages that require no spin to make them look bad. There appears to be evidence of attempts to prevent scientific data from being released, and even to destroy material that was subject to Freedom of Information requests. Worse still, some of the emails suggest efforts to prevent the publication of work by climate skeptics or to keep it out of a report by the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. The head of the unit, Phil Jones, should now resign. Some of the data discussed in the emails should be reanalyzed. Bob Ward, a climate expert at the London School of Economics and Political Science, demanded an independent inquiry. From what I've seen of the emails, there's not been any new questions raised about the way papers have been put together, but there should be a re-examination of the emails, he said. The emails, which appeared last week on a Russian website, appear to have been stolen from a university computer server. Yesterday, Professor Jones refused to quit and denied that researchers had altered evidence to bolster the case for man-made climate change. He added, "We absolutely stand by the science we produce here at the University of East Anglia, and it has been peer-reviewed and published." Some of the emails probably had poorly chosen words and were sent in the heat of the moment. When I was frustrated, I do regret sending some of them. We've not deleted any emails or data here at CRU. I would never manipulate the data one bit. I would categorically deny that. The university is to conduct an independent review of data security and on its response to the 60 Freedom of Information requests over a short period. At least half of the 36 UK officials and ministers traveling to the climate change talks in Copenhagen are going by air rather than by rail. The Liberal Democrats said the arrangement showed up Labour's hypocrisy on green issues. The government said officials had meetings that limited their travel options next month. Why, they're too important. Let's see here. Okay, I'm looking here. All right. Let's see. And then from the Washington Times, this is an editorial, "Hiding Evidence of Global Cooling." Scientific progress depends on accurate and complete data. It also relies on replication. The past couple of days have uncovered some shocking revelations about the baloney practices that pass as sound science about climate change. It was announced Thursday afternoon that computer hackers had obtained 160 megabytes of emails from the Climate Research Unit, CRU, at the University of East Anglia in England. Those emails involved communication among many scientific researchers and policy advocates with similar ideological positions all across the world. Those purported authorities were brazenly discussing the destruction and hiding of data that did not support global warming scams, or claims, rather. They're scams. Professor Phil Jones, the head of the Climate Research Unit, and Professor Michael E. Mann at Pennsylvania State University, who has been an important scientist in the climate debate, have come under particular scrutiny. Among his emails, Mr. Jones talked to Mr. Mann about the trick of adding in the real temperatures to each series to hide the decline in temperature. Mr. Mann admitted that he was party to the conversation and lamely explained to the New York Times that scientists often use the word trick to refer to a good way to solve a problem and not something secret. Though the liberal New York newspaper apparently buys this explanation, we have seen no benign explanation that justifies efforts by researchers to skew data on so-called global warming to hide the decline. Given the controversies over the accuracy of Mr. Mann's past research, it is surprising his current explanations are accepted so readily. There is a lot of damning evidence about these researchers concealing information that counters their bias. In another exchange, Mr. Jones told Mr. Mann, if they ever hear there is a Freedom of Information Act now in the UK, I think I'll delete the file rather than send it to anyone. And we also have a Data Protection Act, which I will hide behind. Mr. Jones further urged Mr. Mann to join him in deleting email exchanges about the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, or the IPCC, Controversial Assessment Report, ARA. Can you delete any emails you may have had with Keith regarding the IPCC's fourth assessment report? In another email, Mr. Jones told Mr. Mann, Professor Malcolm K. Hughes of the University of Arizona and Professor Raymond S. Bradley of the University of Massachusetts at Amherst, I'm getting hassled by a couple of people to release the CRU station temperature data. Don't any of you three tell anybody that the UK has a Freedom of Information Act? At one point, Mr. Jones complained to another academic, I did get an email from the Freedom of Information person here early yesterday to tell me I shouldn't be deleting emails. He also offered up more dubious tricks of his trade, specifically that IPCC is an international organization, so it is above any national freedom of information. Even if UEA holds anything about IPCC, we are not obliged to pass it on. Another professor at the Climate Research Unit, Tim Osborne, discussed in emails how truncating a data series can hide a cooling trend that otherwise would be seen in the results. Mr. Mann sent Mr. Osborne an email saying that the and the web page is reloading. I hate that. Why is the stupid web page reloading? Well, you get the idea. I'm not going to wait for it to... Well, forget it. I'm not... Yeah, I was almost to the end of it anyway. So, the point is, I mean, that's pretty obvious. So I've got a couple of emails. A couple of audio files that I want to play. This first one is... A listener, Paul, had sent me this clip to this YouTube, and I think the name of it's The Corbett Report. It's a YouTube video, and the guy, I actually posted the video in my blog. If you go to TruckerTomPodcast.com, I posted it there, you know, so you can play that. And the guy shows a lot of different visuals, texts and stuff that he reads, but that he's referring to. But let's go ahead and play that first. So here is the Corbett Report.
Hello. This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com, and today I come here with a message for you. You the environmentalists, you the activists, you the campaigners, you who have watched with a growing sense of unease the ways in which this world has been ravaged in the pursuit of the almighty dollar. You who have watched with growing concern the ways that we treat the planet that we are leaving behind for our children, for our grandchildren, and for those generations not yet born. This is a message not of divisiveness, but one of cooperation and unity. This is a message of hope and empowerment, but it requires us to take a look at a hard and uncomfortable truth. Your movement has been usurped by the very same financial interests you thought you were fighting against. you have suspected as much for years. You watched with hope and excitement as your cause, your movement, your message began to spread, as it was taken up by the media and given attention, as conferences were organized, and as the ideas you had struggled so long and hard to be heard were talked about nationally, then internationally. You watched with growing unease as the message was simplified. First it became a slogan, then it became a brand. Soon it was nothing more than a label, and it became attached to products. The ideas you had once fought for were now being sold back to you for profit. You watched with growing unease as the message became parroted, not argued, worn like a fashion, rather than something that came from the conviction of understanding. You disagreed when the slogans, and then the science, was dumbed down. When carbon dioxide became the focus and CO2 was taken up as a political cause, soon it was the only cause. You knew that Al Gore was not a scientist, that his evidence was factually incorrect, that the movement was being taken over by a cause that was not your own, one that relied on beliefs you did not share to propose a solution you did not want. It began to reach a breaking point when you saw that the solution being proposed was not a solution at all. When they began to propose new taxes and new markets that would only serve to line their own pockets. You knew something was wrong when you saw them argue for a cap-and-trade scheme proposed by Ken Lay. When you saw Goldman Sachs position itself to ride the carbon trading bubble. When the whole thrust of the movement became ways to make money, or spend money, or raise money from this panic. Your movement had been hijacked. The realization came the first time you read the Club of Rome's 1991 book, The First Global Revolution, which says, "In searching for a common enemy against whom we can unite, we came up with the idea that pollution, the threat of global warming, water shortages, famine, and the like would fit the bill. In their totality and their interactions, these phenomena do constitute a common threat which must be confronted by everyone together. But in designating these dangers as the enemy, we fall into the trap which we have already warned readers about, namely mistaking symptoms for causes. All these dangers are caused by human intervention in natural processes, and it is only through changed attitudes and behavior that they can be overcome. The real enemy, then, is humanity itself." And when you looked at the Club of Rome's elite member roster, and when you learned about eugenics and the Rockefeller ties to the Kaiser Wilhelm Institute and the practice of crypto-eugenics and the rise of the overpopulation fear-mongering and the call by elitist after elitist after elitist to cull the world population. Still, you wanted to believe that there was some basis of truth, something real and valuable in the single-minded obsession of the hijacked environmental movement with man-made global warming. Now, in November 2009, the last traces of doubt have been removed. Last week, an insider leaked internal documents and emails from the Climate Research Unit of East Anglia University and exposed the lies, manipulation, and fraud behind the studies that supposedly show 0.6 degrees Celsius of warming over the last 130 years. And the hockey stick graph that supposedly shows unprecedented warming in our times, and the alarmist warning of impending climate disaster. We now know that they wrote programming notes in their own source code of their own climate models, admitting that results were being manually adjusted. We now know that values were being adjusted to conform to scientists' wishes, not reality. We now know that the peer review process itself was being perverted to exclude those scientists whose work criticized their findings. We now know that these scientists expressed doubts to each other about the reliability of the science that they publicly claimed to be settled. We now know, in short, that they were lying. It is unknown as yet what the fallout from all of this will be, but it is evident that the fallout will be substantial. With this crisis, however, comes an opportunity. An opportunity to recapture the movement that the financiers have stolen from the people. Together, we can demand a full and independent investigation into all of the researchers whose work was implicated in the Climate Research Unit affair. We can demand a full reevaluation of all those studies whose conclusions have been thrown into question by these revelations and all of the public policy that has been based on those studies. We can establish new standards of transparency for scientists whose work is taxpayer-funded and/or whose work affects public policy, so that everyone has full and equal access to the data used to calculate results and all of the source code used in all of the programs used to model that data. In other words, we can reaffirm that no cause is worth supporting that requires deception for its propagation. Even more importantly, we can take back the environmental movement. We can begin to concentrate on the serious questions that need to be asked about the genetic engineering technology whereby hybrid organisms and new, never-before-seen proteins are being released into the biosphere in a giant, uncontrolled experiment that threatens the very genome of life on this planet. We can look into the environmental causes of the explosion in cancer and the staggering drops in fertility over the last 50 years, including the BPA in our plastics and the anti-androgens in the water. We can look into the regulatory agencies that are controlled by the very corporations they are supposedly watching over. We can begin focusing on depleted uranium and the dumping of toxic waste into the rivers, and all of the issues that we once knew were part of the mandate of the real environmental movement. Or we can, as some have, descend into petty partisan politics. We can decide that lies are okay if they support our side. We can defend the reprehensible actions of the CRU researchers and rally around the green flag that has long since been captured by the enemy. It's a simple decision to make, but one that we must make quickly, before the argument can be spun away and environmentalism can return to business as usual. We are at a crossroads of history, and make no mistake, history will be the final judge of our actions. So I leave you today with a simple question. Which side of history do you want to be on? For the Corbett Report, this is James Corbett in Western Japan.
Okay, so that was something called the Corbett Report. And again, I posted the video. If you want to watch the video that goes with that audio that I just played, that is on my website, TruckerTomPodcast.com, and it will be below the posting for this particular podcast. So you just scroll down and you'll see it. I've also got, so thank you, Paul, for sending me the link to that video. I've also got a clip of Tuesday's Alex Jones show. Now, I've been listening to Alex Jones for a number of months now. I think I mentioned it probably once or twice or three times, I don't know. But in any case, I've been listening to this, and I don't agree with everything that Alex Jones says. However, the fact of the matter is that he's very good about documenting everything that he says. And even some of the really controversial stuff that he says, he documents it. And, you know, the guy's been reading the, you know, policy statements and writings of, you know, of all, you know, a lot of these, you know, government people and these government agencies. He's been reading this stuff, you know, and what they've been planning on doing for years, and, you know, and now all of a sudden all this stuff, you know, is kind of coming true. You know, it's coming out in the news. There are people calling for global government and so on and so forth. And, you know, and Alex Jones all of a sudden is really gaining some credibility. And I found out about him. My friend Michael Zwirling, that owns KSCO-KOMY out in Santa Cruz, California, the two AM radio stations. A few months ago, he was telling me that he was putting Alex Jones on. You know, he's picking it up and putting it on one of the stations. And he asked me if I'd ever heard of Alex Jones. And I'd heard the name, but I never had listened. And so that made me curious. So I actually went to, you know, I went and looked it up, and I found Alex, and I ended up listening a little bit. And so I found a podcast, and I subscribed to it. And, you can find a podcast if you go to, what is it? Look up Genesis Radio Network. If you type that into Bing or Google, then you'll find the Genesis website, and that's basically, it's a radio network. And then you just find Alex Jones, or, you know, there's a link there that says podcast, and you click on that, and then you find the right link for Alex Jones, and then, you know, they give you the whole 4-hour show. It has the ads in it, but they give you the whole 4 hours. And, you know, Alex, the other thing about Alex Jones, he always has these great guests. You know, some of the guests he gets, amazing, you know, the quality of the guests that he's able to get. So, anyway, I'm going to go ahead and play this, and Alex is interviewing this climate researcher that was one of the people that was kind of persecuted by these scientists, so-called scientists, at this East Anglia Climate Research Unit. And this guy's pretty much now obviously been vindicated. You know, he was trying to challenge these people, and, you know, they were trying to destroy him, and along with other people, you know, destroy their reputations, destroy their ability to be scientists, destroy their livelihood, destroy their reputations. And so, but he's obviously now, he's been vindicated. And so anyway, without me continuing to talk here, here's a clip from Tuesday's Alex Jones Show.
He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Mark and I were just ranting and frothing because I know the feeling. There's so much documentation, so much evidence of fraud, so much proof. It's proof. And you're like, look, look. And then now we have their own emails where the top scientists for the UN are talking to the top scientists in the U.S. and Europe about how to lie and how to persecute scientists and how to fix the data. And in these documents that were released are the computer code of the weather models, with the computer programmers explaining to people that may be working on it later, look, this whole thing's a fraud. You got to run all sorts of scams to flip the data. We have videos of the code where it's all described by computer programmers online with the emails, with the code. I mean, this whole thing is red-handed. It's like catching a killer. It's like a murderer shooting somebody at a sports stadium in front of 100,000 people. I mean, they have been caught. It'd be like if a husband choked his wife to death on national television. There's no doubt he did it. There's no doubt they're caught. And Tim Ball, who, by the way, is in my film Fall of the Republic and did an incredible job, was a top climatologist early on, didn't have a political axe, got persecuted. And they talk about how to persecute people. They talk about him bad in the emails. I forgot to tell you, they talk about Mark, who we had on last hour, with his FOIA request, trying to get the documents, how to block those documents. I mean, this is incredible. And Dr. Tim Ball is now on with us for the rest of the hour. We're extremely honored to have him. We're going to break here in just a moment. But doctor, how exciting was this? You're like Galileo saying that the Earth orbits the sun, not the sun orbiting the Earth. And now you've been proven right, and that it's premeditated fraud. They weren't just wrong. And you said that all along, because all the other scientists like yourself would do the raw research and say it doesn't add up. And they'd say, shut up. I mean, what is this like for you after all the persecution you've been through?
It's a very sad day, Alex, because it's a sad day for science. It's a sad day for the environment, which we need to care about. People will start to say, now we don't believe anything you tell us. And they have destroyed climate science virtually. As I've said elsewhere, there is no pleasure in I told you so. But what we've got to do now is hold people responsible and to backtrack on all of the incredibly damaging legislation that's been brought in or proposed on a global scale, both in energy and economies, based upon this false data.
That's why we've got you here today, to not just talk about their fraud, but you told my producer this is only the tip of the iceberg. I want to go over that, but also talk about what do we do now? We have to bring these criminals to justice. They're openly setting up a tyrannical world government to micromanage every facet of our lives. All these top demographers and researchers have said 1 billion people will die within a decade worldwide if they implemented these carbon rationing, energy rationing plans. It will destroy our economy. Shouldn't they be held criminally responsible, as Lord Mockton is saying?
Well, absolutely. The only difficulty will be, of course, that if it's in a UK court, it depends on how the information was obtained. If it was a whistleblower, that is eligible in a British court. But if it was hacked, that would be deemed inadmissible. So all of this evidence would not be entertained. And, of course, we would then be in the same position as I've been in all these years, that I could see what was going on. I knew what was going on, but I didn't have that smoking gun. And
well, stay there.
We've not only got a smoking gun, but we've got an atomic bomb here.
I agree. That's how I likened it to, as an ICBM of truth yesterday.
Yeah.
But the issue is, they screwed up and admitted it was their emails to the Associated Press. They said, yeah, those are our emails.
Yeah.
And they said, oh, but they're taken out of context, so they should still be admissible. The police need to raid those facilities and get the actual hard drives. We know that'll be admissible, but you know they're in there erasing it all right now.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
I'm going to try to contain myself because there's so many facets of this fraud. And then how the establishment is calling themselves victims. They're now saying in The Guardian that the climate skeptics with these emails are persecuting good scientists, when they're in their own emails talking about how they were persecuting people with government power, how they were blocking FOIA requests, how they were destroying scientific debate and blockading people publishing their science. I mean, this is a rigged club of crooks, and we're going to talk about bringing them to criminal justice. Also, research by Dr. Tim Ball in these emails. John P. Holdren, the eugenicist, is all over these emails, helping coordinate things. This is huge. Okay, Dr. Tim Ball,
well,
you've
his
got
involvement,
the...
A few years ago, there were two, they're both still active, Willie Soon and Sally Baliunas, both at Harvard, and they were doing first-class research. They're both solar physicists, and they were doing first-class research. Now, the key thing was the medieval warm period, and they had to get rid of that because they were saying that the 20th century was warmest ever, when, in fact, just 1,000 years ago, it was even warmer than now. And Soon and Baliunas had extensive research proving it. And so, of course, they had to get rid of the medieval warm period, which they did through the hockey stick and Michael Mann and that scandal, but they had to also denigrate Soon and Baliunas. And there's a series of emails in there which Michael Mann is sending to the group, the CRU gangsters, from John Holdren. And Mann says, John thinks you'll be entertained by this this exercise. And what it was that Holdren had a series of breakfast meetings in which he sent out information ahead of time. And they debated how wrong Soon and Baliunas were and how right Michael Mann was. And of course, Holdren, using that power that he had, and by the way, he was in the Teresa and Kerry Heinz, and we know all about their connections, That he was in that chair at Harvard. And so Baliunas, a few years ago, she was on some of our advisory committees on the skeptic side, and all of a sudden we didn't hear from her. We finally contacted her, and she said, basically, I've been under attack here. I've got to step aside. And as she also disclosed some of the personal attacks as a woman and as a redhead that were just absolutely outrageous. So this was going on within Harvard, and of course Holdren is very, very proud of what he did.
Let me stop you. Give us details of what she told you, because that's an article that needs to be written to show how they persecuted women and scientists and used intimidation, because they talk about that in some of the other emails, how to intimidate, how to cut funding, how to not let people publish their reports. Let's cover that in a moment, but first let me ask you this question.
Yeah.
Over and over again, they've been proven that they're lying. They're more polar bears, not less. Polar bears are the best swimmers. They're not drowning. They hunt on ice packs. They're not drifting. They're going to die. They show school kids the Arctic and Antarctic contracting in the summer. They don't explain that it gets big again in the winter. They've been caught lying with the carbon dioxide heat graph, having carbon dioxide coinciding with the heat, not coming after it several hundred years, as you know. Hundreds and hundreds of frauds they've been caught in, but now, before they could deny they were caught or say it was an accident or have a debate about it, now they've been caught red-handed in these emails at the top climate facility, the UN sites, as you know, Dr. Ball being a top climatologist. How big of an issue is it to have them red-handed in the code, the computer code, with notes on how they do the fraud, and then having them in the emails how they know it's getting colder, but they're going to lie? I mean, is this not the holy grail? You called it an atomic weapon against their lies.
Oh, absolutely. And of course, it isn't just the people, the CRU, the Climatic Research Unit, and Phil Jones. See, now, Phil Jones is the guy who put out that number of temperature increase of 1 degree Fahrenheit, which Gore talks about in his movie. Okay, Jones has consistently refused to disclose how he produced that number. Warwick Hughes wrote to him from Australia the email, and Jones came back and said, we spent 25 years getting these numbers. Why should we share it with you when all you want to do is find something wrong?
And you talk about that in Fall of the Republic. Before this even came out, you pointed at Jones.
Yeah, exactly. Now, but beyond that, Jones, Mann, Keith Briffa, and by the way, the person that really started it all is Tom Wigley. He's the Eminence Grease behind all of this, and I've watched him manipulate and control for 30 years, and he started at the Climatic Research Unit. He's now at NCAR in Boulder, and he's the grandfather. He's the go-to guy when they say, what should we do about this? How should we deal about with this? You can see that in the emails. But more important, Alex, is that these people control totally the IPCC. And, of course, the IPCC is the authority that all world governments quote and go to. It's the basis of Kyoto. It's the basis of the Copenhagen thing. It's the argument for carbon credits and that whole scam. So it isn't just the scandals within that academic unit. And I've said many times, and I think I said it when I was interviewed by your group, that there's two responsibilities as a scientist. You've got the responsibility in the laboratory. These guys weren't even meeting those responsibilities, as we now know. But when you go public and say that your science is legitimate and should be the basis of policy, there's a whole new set of responsibilities kick in, and they didn't meet those either. In fact, they deliberately thwarted them. So it's on two completely different levels. But the first thing that we got to do is we got to shut down the IPCC. It's got to go.
Absolutely. We have the top scientist interlaced with the UN climate study group, and you also study them individually. They're all globalists. They're all pro-New World Order. They're all socialist. Yep. They all want to cut human resources. They all want one-child policies. This is a very sick group, and studying them separate from the climate debate, studying them, being persecuted by them, you're one of the first people they singled out, because as a top climatologist, you were effectively countering them. What type of individuals are these people?
Well, as you said, and by the way, the University of East Anglia, where the CRU is located, and I had the privilege of dealing with Hubert Lam, who's the father of climatology of the modern era. He helped me with my doctoral thesis. I mean, he'd be turning in his grave. But this it was set up there, the University of East Anglia, which, by the way, has been complicit in blocking freedom of information requests, as has the United Kingdom Met Office. So this thing permeates through government. But the University of East Anglia was set up under the Harold Wilson socialist government in Britain, and it is considered the most left of all the left-wing universities in Britain. So this was a perfect place for this CRU thing to fester into what it's become. And, of course, the person that there's two sides to it, of course. There's the political side and the science side. Now, the guy that put those two together is our old friend Morris Strong. And, of course, Morris Strong, I think, is hiding out in China right now because the U.S. government want him for his involvement with Kofi Annan in the oil for food in Iraq thing. But Morris Strong was the one that set up the United Nations Environment Program. And he made a statement 30 years ago that he said, isn't the problem for the problem for the planet are the industrialized nations. Isn't it our responsibility to get rid of them? And I want your audience to think about, how would you do that? If you consider the industrialized nations like an engine in a car, and that's a very good analogy because fossil fuels and energy are critical to them, how would you go about doing that? You'd say, okay, I can stop the engine by shutting off the energy supply. And as you see that happening, the impacts on energy, but the public would scream right away. We saw that when the fuel prices went up, everybody's angry immediately. So you really can't do that. But if you say, look, the byproduct, the exhaust of this engine, and you can stop an engine by plugging the exhaust. So if you say, look, the exhaust of this industrialized nations or this car is CO2, and it's destroying the global climate and destroying the planet, then you can point at, oh, this evil industry, this horrible industrial complex, and this whole free market thing, we've just got to shut it down. It's destroying the planet. That's why CO2 became the focus, even though it's an absolute minuscule part of the total complexity that is weather and climate. And of course, Morris Strong set about to do this. Now, in a book called The Cloak of Green by Elaine Dewar, who, by the way, started to write a book praising all the environmentalists in Canada, and as a good journalist, the more she dug, the more she discovered that these people were more corrupt than the corporations they were attacking. And 20% of that book is devoted to Strong. And she said to him, if you got these ideas, why don't you run for politics? He probably, the only honest statement in his life, said, well, you can't do anything as a politician. He said, I'm going to go to the UN, and there I can get all the money I want and not be accountable to anybody. And that's precisely what he did. He set up with Kofi Annan, and he became the senior advisor, and he set up the United Nations Environment Program, and a subset of that was the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. Now, one of the things, Alex, that to help people understand how these sorts of machinations are done, because Strong was incredibly, I mean, it's like with Gore's movie, you cannot deny it's a superb piece of propaganda. And with Morris Strong, you cannot deny his talents in persuading people and managing bureaucratic systems. And one of the things through my own experience, I've chaired many boards of commission and commissions of inquiry. And it's a perfect vehicle for the politician because, there's a fight going on and the public are saying, why don't you do something here? Well, the politician said, okay, we'll have a commission inquiry, and it'll be arm's length. And everybody said, oh, good for you. Finally, we're getting somewhere. But what they don't know is that the politicians continue to retain control. Now, first of all, if the media come along... Okay,
well, stay there.
Okay, so there was the clip of the Alex Jones show from Tuesday. That was just a part of, I think, the third hour. And you know, it's pretty obvious. It's very obvious between this, you know, that I just played, and then that video. In the video, that video clip, they actually show some of the computer code, the programming code, and it was they had. If you've ever seen computer, computer code written out, you know, that they can put in, like a colon or a hyphen or some symbol so that they can make comments. And it even said, it said something to the effect of fraudulent, they were labeling the section that actually created the fraudulent data. Just totally brazen about it. Just absolutely brazen and open about it, as they were, open among themselves. And they're probably, it's outrageous what people are capable of. It would be like getting mafia emails or something back and forth. I wish, this is probably just the tip of the iceberg. I wish that we could gain access to all kinds of different email servers. Wouldn't it be wonderful if all of that stuff was, like every government email server had to be open, and, it had to be visible to the public. Now I'm sure they'd find some other way of scamming, and it amazes me what people will put into email. Even though they know that, in companies, for example, there's a good chance it's in the open and there's a good chance that it could get hacked, people will just send all kinds of things back and forth. It's just amazing. And it's the same thing occurs, the same phenomenon occurs when people, closed circuit TV systems are installed. People will do, even though they know the camera's there and it's watching them, or potentially somebody's watching them, or they are being recorded, after they get used to it, they kind of forget about it, and then they'll just go back to whatever their behavior is, and you'll see them do all kinds of silly things. A number of months ago, I was reading this article, there was some company, and they were kind of vague in the article, but they were talking about truck drivers, and they were, they had, I guess, trucks that, they were really vague about it, what kind of trucks they were, or so on and so forth, but they had these trucks, and so they put these cameras in there. And the drivers were actually texting, and the drivers knew about the cameras, but I guess they got used to it. And so the drivers, the gist of this article was, well, it's a major problem. Truck drivers are texting while they're driving down the road, even though they know the cameras are there, there have been other ones, that I've seen, a number of years ago, where they had a camera and they were showing this guy, getting sleepy, and even though he knew the video camera was there, he was kind of, they showed this one nodding off, and it's crazy. But people, once they, the point is, once that they kind of get used to the presence of the camera, the fact that they could be monitored, they just ignore it and they do whatever they're going to do anyway. That's pretty funny. So, I don't know. But this climate fraud, this man-made global warming climate fraud, is heinous. Governments have spent billions of dollars because of this. And, they want to institute this global tax. Cap and trade. Ken Lay came up with it, by the way. Ken Lay of Enron fame came up with the cap and trade idea. You know, he's one of the people that came up with that. And so they want to institute this global climate tax. You know, it's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. But, you know, it's sort of like a cult. C-U-L-T, cult. The root word for culture. And people are susceptible. People are too suggestible. You know, there's way too many people that are too suggestible. And they're, you know, and then also suggestible people end up in cults. It's very, very, you know, there's more than one kind of cult. You know, you can end up in a scientific, you know, so-called scientific cult. You know, if you're the right person. You know, it doesn't just have to be religious cults. There's all kinds of cults. There's all kinds of, you know, cults, root word for culture. So, anyway, probably better be cutting this off and see if I can get headed to bed. It's still dark, but it's going to be getting light soon if I keep staying up. Anyhow, hope everyone has a great Thanksgiving Day if you're in the United States. And otherwise, hope you're having a great week. And I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.